minds, and bodies. She came at noon in the heat of the day, probably as to not run into any of the other ladies. She would have carried a lot of shame and was probably happy to come to the well when no one else would be there. But who is already waiting here for her that day? God himself, asking her for a drink, limiting himself to tiredness and thirst so she can become a blessing to him. So let's press the pause button on the story for a moment and bring this back into this room here this morning, the MPR, the multi-purpose room at Don Ross Middle School. Where in your life may Jesus be sitting and waiting for you? Where is he sitting and waiting for you today? How about right now? Isn't it so easy to walk through your day as if on autopilot? Isn't it so easy to lose sight of Jesus? Yes, even in our gathering together on a Sunday morning. It happens to me. We're singing praises to God, and I get distracted by the word that may be misspelled on the PowerPoint, or like last Sunday, I was looking at Lotte's socks. Where is she? Lotte, where are you? Looking at her socks, wondering, because they looked like shoes from the back. Totally distracted, looking at your socks. While singing praises to God. Or Heather's dress, or Donna's smile. So it happens. And I may totally miss the cross in the corner. I would actually love to, for that sake, move it right here. If somebody wouldn't mind. Oh, thank you, Sebastian. You can put it right in front of me, actually. Do you want me to take the base? Thanks. Thank you. Ooh, this is leaning. Imaginatively speaking, how often do we walk by Jesus without noticing him at all? Let's take a moment to be present with God right here and now and bring our bodies, minds, hearts, and souls. Bring our all, and meet him here by the cross. Kids, you can do this too. I invite you all to close your eyes. Makes praying and listening a bit easier. Helps with not getting distracted sometimes. And I'll direct a few questions to Jesus and would like to invite you to listen with your hearts. Simply pay attention to what may come up from within. Jesus, you asked the Samaritan woman for a drink of water. You didn't really need to depend on her for a drink, and yet you chose to receive from her. You invited her to bless you with something that she could give. Jesus, what might you be asking from me this very moment? What do I have to offer that you would like to receive? What gift, perhaps, are you inviting me to give back to you that blesses you? I invite you to keep your eyes closed and stay present with Jesus here by the cross a little while longer. Some of you may have found this difficult just now. Maybe you have no idea what gift you have to offer. That's okay. If you find yourself feeling uncomfortable or tense even, just notice that. And if you like, put that on the table. Bring that to the cross or to the well. Simply be honest with God. Maybe even ask him back. That is actually precisely what the Samaritan woman did. Notice how when Jesus asked her for a drink, she asked the question back as well. She was so surprised by Jesus' request that she said, You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? We don't even know if Jesus ever got his drink. Jewish men didn't ask for drinks from a Samaritan, even worse, from a Samaritan woman. Samaritans were viewed as unclean by Jews, and so no Jew would have even touched a dish that a Samaritan had used. Yet, here is Jesus asking her to give him a drink, turning the world upside down, turning her world upside down. And so just like she had a glass of water to give, so does each of us here have something to give. Because what if Jesus was blessed by you and me simply bringing ourselves just the way we are? What if your Heavenly Father said to you right now, my beloved son, my beloved daughter, your presence with me is the best gift you can make me. I invite you to simply bring yourself just the way you are. See how my arms are open? You may feel like you don't have anything to give to me, but you do. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you come to me in honesty, just the way you are, without pretense, that ministers to me. That blesses me. You, simply being with me, being open and honest with me, is the most precious gift. Come. So let's take a minute and just be present with God here by the cross or there at the well. Let that be our worship. Amen. It's time for the story. Some of you might know this already. It's called Just the Way You Are by Max Lucado. And I think it fits well with the theme. A long time ago, in a land much like your own, there was a village. And in the village lived five orphans. A lonely family of fatherless children, they had banded together against the cold. One day the king learned of their misfortune and decided to adopt them. He announced that he would be their father and would come for them soon. When the children learned that they had a new father and their father was the king, and that the king was coming to visit, they went wild with excitement. Now, kids, can you guys all see the images? If you want to come closer, there's more chairs in the front. Kind of. When the people of the village learned that the children had a father, and that their father was the king, and that the king was coming to the village, they were excited as well. They went out to see the children and told them what to do. "You need to impress the king," they explained. "Only those with great gifts to give will be allowed to live in the castle." The people didn't know the king. They just thought that all kings want to be impressed. So the children began preparing gifts to offer the king. They worked long and hard to be sure the king would approve. One of the children, who knew how to carve, decided to give the king a wonderful work of wooden art. He set his knife against the soft bark of the elm and whittled. The small blocks of wood came alive with the eyes of a sparrow or the nose of a horse. His sister decided to present the king with a painting that captured the beauty of the heavens, a painting worthy to hang in his castle. Another sister chose music as her way to impress the king. For long hours, she practiced with her voice and mandolin. Village people would stop at her window and listen as her music took wings and soared. Yet another child set out to turn the king's head with wisdom. Late hours would find his candle lit and his books open. Geography, math, chemistry. The breadth of his study was matched only by the depth of his desire. Surely a king would appreciate all his knowledge. But there was one sister who had nothing to offer. Her hand was clumsy with a knife, her fingers stiff with a brush. When the little girl opened her mouth to sing, the sound was hoarse. She wasn't much of a reader. She believed she had no talent, and so she believed she had no gift. All she had to offer was her heart, for her heart was good. She spent her time at the city gates watching the people come and go. She would earn pennies to buy food for her brothers and sisters by grooming people's horses or feeding their animals. She was a simple stable girl, but she had a good heart. She knew the beggars by name. She took time to pet each dog. She welcomed home the travelers and greeted the strangers. "How was your journey?" she would ask. "Tell me what you learned on your visit. How is your husband? Do you enjoy your new work?" She was full of questions for people. Because her heart was big and she cared about them. They were all the same to her, the beggars and the rich. She cared for all of them just the way they were. But since the little girl thought she had no talent and no gift, she was afraid that the king would be disappointed. She remembered the villager's advice and set her mind about the task of making a gift for the king. She took a small knife and went to her brother, the carver. "Could you teach me to carve?" she asked. "Sorry," the young craftsman responded without looking up. "I've much work to do. I haven't time for you. The king is coming, you know." The girl put away her knife and picked up a brush. She went to her sister, the artist. She found her on a hill painting a sunset on a canvas. "You paint so beautifully," said the girl, who had no gift but a big heart. "I know," the painter answered. "Could you share your gift with me?" "Not now," the sister responded with eyes on her palette. "The king is coming, you know." The girl with no gift then remembered her other sister, the one with a song. "She will help me," she said. When she arrived at her sister's house, she found a crowd of people waiting to listen to her sister sing. "Sister," she called, "sister, I've come to listen and learn." But her sister couldn't hear. The noise of the applause was too loud. With a heavy heart, the girl turned and walked away. Then she remembered her other brother. She took a book with small words and big letters and went to see him. I have nothing to offer the king, she said. Could you teach me to read so I might show him my wisdom? The young sage-to-be didn't speak. He was lost in thought. The child with no gift spoke again. Could you help me? I have no talent. Go away, said the scholar, scarcely moving his eyes from the text. Can't you see? I'm preparing myself for the coming of the king. And so the girl went away sadly. She had nothing to give. She returned to her place at the city gates and took up her task of caring for people's animals. After some days, a man in merchant's clothes came to the small town. Can you feed my donkey? He asked the girl. The orphan jumped to her feet and looked into the brown face of the one who had traveled far. His skin was leathery from the sun, and his eyes were deep. His kind smile warmed the girl's heart. That I can, she answered eagerly, leading the animal to the trough. Trust him to me. When you return, he will be groomed and fed. Tell me, she asked as the donkey drank, have you come to stay? For only a while. I'm looking for someone. Are you weary from your journey? That I am. Would you like to sit and rest? The girl motioned to a bench near the wall. A tall man sat on the bench, leaned against the wall, closed his eyes, and slept. After a few minutes, it was a power nap, after a few minutes he awoke and found the girl sitting at his feet, watching his face. She was embarrassed that he had caught her staring. She turned away. Have you been sitting there long? Yes. What do you seek? Nothing. You seem to be a kind man with a peaceful heart. It's good to be near you. The man smiled and stroked his beard. You are a wise girl, he said. When I return, we will visit more. The man did return quite soon. Did you find the ones you were seeking? The girl asked. I found them, but they were too busy for me. What do you mean? The first one I came to see was a woodsmith rushing to complete a project. He told me to return tomorrow. Another was an artist. I saw her sitting on a hillside, but the people below said she did not want to be disturbed. The other was a musician. I sat with the others and listened to her music. When I asked to talk with her, she said she had no time. The other I sought had left. He has moved to the city to go to school. The girl's eyes widened as she realized who the man was. But you don't look like a king, she gasped. I try not to, he explained. Being a king can be lonely. People act strangely around me. They ask for favors. They try to impress me. They bring me all their complaints. But isn't that what a king is for? Asked the girl. Certainly, responded the king. But there are times when I just want to be with my people. There are times when I want to talk to my people, to hear about their day, to laugh a bit, to cry some. There are times when I just want to be their father. Is that why you adopted the children? That's why. Adults think they have to impress me. Children don't. They just want to talk to me. They know that I love them just the way they are. But my brothers and sisters were too busy? They were. But I'll come back. Maybe they'll have more time another day. The girl hesitated. Sir, what about me? I have no gift, but I would like to be your child. The king smiled. My dear, you gave the best gift of all. You gave your heart, your kindness, your time, your love. Of course you'll be my child. I love you just the way you are. And so it happened that the children with many talents but no time missed the visit of the king, while the girl, whose only gift was the gift of her heart, became the child of the king that day. Sebastian, that, oh, I didn't see you. I need to open my eyes too. The good, good Father. So if you like, reflect on the words. If you want to sing, do that. It's always a little awkward if there's no musicians here, but we have the lyrics up on the screen, whatever you feel like doing. Let's pray. Thank you so much, our Heavenly Father, for being the good, good Father, the good Daddy that you are. Thank you for loving us so much. Amen. But let's jump back into the story at the well. Remember, we had left off where Jesus asked the Samaritan woman for a drink, and she's so perplexed that she says, "How can you ask me for a drink?" You could. Thanks, Andrew. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" I can so picture Jesus with a warm and humble, loving smile, and yet an expression of, "You bet I'm greater." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The expression of welling up is a vigorous one, a leaping up. Jesus was speaking of vigorous and abundant life. Let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves, or if you like Jesus, is there any area in my life where I've been feeling dry, where abundance isn't happening? Simply notice if anything comes to mind. Jesus does care about that. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Vigorous, abundant life. Back in our story, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have isn't your husband. What you have said is quite true." What's Jesus doing here? She still thinks he's talking about H2O somehow, doesn't yet see at all what he sees, but she's interested and now reaches for whatever he's offering. And what does he do? He puts his finger in the wound, not in a critical way or to condemn, not at all, but instead to clean the wound and to heal. In this culture, divorce was only possible to happen in one direction. Men divorced women, never the other way around. So this woman had been rejected 5 times, and the last guy didn't even want to marry her anymore. Talk about feeling unworthy, unloved, unlovable. Yet, here's Jesus giving her his full attention, stepping over cultural and religious barriers and boundaries, and lavishing his love on her. I'd like to invite you once more to close your eyes, if you can, and take a moment to be present with God here by the cross, or at the well in our story, or wherever you like. Thank you, Jesus, that your mercies are new every morning. Your mercies are new this morning. Jesus, is there a question you have for me? Anything in my life that you are lovingly wanting to put your finger on? Anything you're inviting me to come clean with? Not to condemn and not to shame, but to heal me and to set me free. And if yes, what may be the first step you're asking me to take today, right now? Thank you that you want your living water to well up in me too. Thank you that with you, there always is a way. Thank you that your desire is abundant life for me, not just to scrape by, but to thrive. Gets up for a break of sitting. If you like to get up, feel free to stand. Sounds good. But may sometimes be difficult. There's an other part I want to get to still. I don't know what are we, how are we doing for time, but perfect. Is that somebody? 11 already. Oh, that's crazy. Does any of you would like to briefly share if somehow you were touched by God, something spoke to you, if there's anything, would like to open it up for 3 minutes if anybody has something to share. And it's the kind of exercise sometimes that doesn't necessarily, yeah, I find if I sit with God, it's not something that I want to speak out right away. So I trust that God is speaking to you. I did actually have a story about this hat, but I think I have to save that for another time. I don't want to run out of time because the second part I think is important too. So I would like to look at our story once more, because it's not only about the Samaritan woman and Jesus. There are some others involved as well. So if you could, oh, here, awesome. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." So the disciples are finally coming back from their grocery shopping in town. They did what needed to be done, what Jesus had asked them to, I'm sure. They were good Jesus followers. And before this trip up north, they've already had a very successful outreach ministry, baptizing tons of people. But now they are perplexed. They didn't see this one coming. They come back to the meeting place by the well and find Jesus talking with the Samaritan woman. They would have never talked to her. They are so surprised that they just don't say anything. Awkward. So the woman takes off. She even leaves her water jar, runs back to Sychar, and the whole town ends up being changed and transformed in the process. They all come running to meet Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool to see something like that happen here in Squamish? What would it take? Already the living water that Jesus spoke of has started to well up in her and spilling over to eternal life, not just for herself, but for the whole town. It's like breathing, isn't it? She breathed in deeply the love of God and couldn't help it but breathe it out too, spill over. She didn't work hard at that, she just spilled over. Something very explosive just happened here at the well. And it's about to become even more explosive as now the whole town is making their way there. Meanwhile, it says, meanwhile his disciples, what do? Oh, we don't have it there. They urge Jesus to eat. They don't see it at all yet, what's happening. They're about to miss it, look past it. They're focused on something different entirely. Let's briefly push the pause button again. What are we urging Jesus to do in our lives and in the lives of those around us? Isn't it so easy to be focused on our agendas that we may actually miss what's happening, what God is doing? Isn't that often how we pray too, urging God? In fact, isn't that often how we see prayer in general, as if we needed to get God's attention for our problem, for our ideas, for our issues, because somehow God was focused somewhere else. And just maybe he actually is focused somewhere else and is hoping and waiting for us to look his way. But here's the good news. He'll be glad to let us know when that happens. He'll be glad to help us, just like he helped his disciples too, to shift their focus. But please hear me. I don't think it's that urging is the problem. After all, we are to come boldly before the throne of God. My kids aren't afraid to urge me, I don't think. I think it's totally fine to urge Jesus, to urge the Father. We can trust that grace is at work here too. The Holy Spirit is happy to help. Jesus will let us know when we are off and need to shift our focus. But for that to happen, I think we do need to listen too. So in our urging, let's always be listening to how God responds. Because like here by the well with his disciples, he may just throw us for a loop too. So what's he saying? I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Now they're even more confused. How could someone have brought him food? They look puzzled at the dates and figs in their shopping bags. They don't see it yet, but they will. They're about to. Because while the whole town is on their feet now and starting to make their way towards the well, Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." I think God's timing is amazing, because as the disciples hear Jesus speak these words, open your eyes and look at the fields, they would have been looking straight at all the people from Sychar coming toward them right about now. What a visual. So I would like to invite you one last time to close your eyes and draw near to Jesus. Jesus, you invite us too to journey with you and to love like you love, unconditionally, everyone. The ones we typically look past, even the ones we don't like, our enemies. Jesus, would you help us open our eyes so we too see the fields of people who are ready to be loved, who are ripe for harvest? And Jesus, as we now look with our inner eyes, the eyes of our hearts, is there any specific person or people group you'd like me to see right now? That you would like to bring to my mind right now? Someone, perhaps much like the Samaritan woman in our story, I would have completely overlooked if it weren't for you. And as you think of specific people or people groups, I invite you to come here to the cross and pick up a little sticky note for each person you're thinking of. Don't forget yourself in the mix too. I've brought Annika's box of markers, so you can use those if you need something to write down a name on a sticky note. Invitation is to come to the cross. We'll play one more song in a sec. And while that's playing, I would invite you to come to the cross, symbolizing the place where Jesus has already loved each one. But he does invite me and you to open our eyes so we can join him in his work. He invites us to see what he's already doing and to come alongside him in love and in truth. And as you come, or don't use the sticky notes, but think of people that may have come to mind, I would just invite us all to hold them up in prayer while we listen to the song. And let's Jesus wrap his loving arms around them.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away.
Yeah, take the notes with you. They don't need to be stuck to the cross. Stick them to yourself so you.
Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around and never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Jesus, friend of sinners, the one who's writing in the sand, may the righteous turn away and the stones fall from. To remember, we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the line?
Prayer. Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what break yours. I'll do that again. Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Amen. Love, peace, and joy be with you, and may his living water become in you a spring of,
you guys had a good time?
A spring of water welling up to eternal life in you and overflowing once again into those around us. Amen.